Journeys to Biblical Counseling on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. This week, our Journeys to Biblical Counseling is featuring Brother Tim Pasma. He's ministered at LaRue Baptist Church in LaRue, Ohio, since the spring of 1985. He's married to Rebecca, and God has blessed them with three sons and three daughters, and three daughters-in-law and a son-in-law, 14 quite active grandchildren. Pastor Tim earned his BA from Cedarville University in 1977 and the MDiv from Grace Theological Seminary. He serves as an ACBC fellow, and he's on the board of ACBC as well. He lectures frequently on counseling issues and at counseling conferences for a number of Christian organizations. I've been delighted to get to know Tim as he is a board member, and we enjoy lots of good fellowship together. Tim, I'm so grateful that you're here. I'm really looking forward to our time together today and hearing the Lord's story in your life.
Great. I'm excited about this. My journey to biblical counseling is something that has been life transforming for me.
We need to capture those things. And I'm so grateful that we're doing that now and to hear from guys like you, Tim, and the way the Lord used you very early on in the movement and with NANC, now ACBC. I want you to give us a little bit of a background, if you can, your story. I've gotten to hear some of these stories just as I probe and ask you questions. Always intriguing. Just tell us a little bit about your background so we can understand a little bit more about Tim Pasma, the man.
All right. Well, you know, I grew up in a Christian home. In fact, my dad was a pastor. If you would have talked about counseling back then, which would have been in the 60s and the 70s, it was just not heard of. Pastors would talk to people. I know dad would, but I don't think he ever did any quote unquote counseling. He was part of that generation, the fundamentalist generation that tended not to think in those terms, I guess you might say. I might see some of the books by Henry Brandt on his shelf, but counseling never just really connected with me, nor did I connect it to ministry. As everyone says, I wasn't intending to go into pastoral ministry, but God changed my course in college. I was really interested in history and politics and so forth, and that's where I was going. But God changed my direction, and I went to Grace Theological Seminary. Now, look, I went to a school, Cedarville College, that was not a friend to biblical counseling. And in my freshman year, 1973, Jay Adams came to Cedarville to do the Staley Lectureships. Now, I'm just a kid out of high school. And I remember Jay speaking in chapel every day. And I'm sitting in chapel just going, "Oh, this is so boring. When are we going to get out of here?" I had no interest in, nor could conceive of anything to do with counseling. It's just that that's something else. I'm just not interested in that. Jay, of course, because of what he said, stirred the waters. And by the time I got out of college, and frankly, Cedarville at that time had an integrationist approach to counseling, right? And so I came out of school thinking of Jay. Oh man, what a nut. Who possibly could believe that the Bible has answers for these questions? So that's where I was after college. Went to seminary. And of course, seminary was good. I learned a lot, learned the languages, but we only had one class in pastoral theology, doing things like going to the funeral home and seeing what those guys do and talking about baptism. And the only time we talked about counseling was just for a matter of a day or so. And it really wasn't anything but maybe a quick survey of the different schools. So when it came to counseling, there really wasn't anything there. When I got in, that was 1981 when I graduated from seminary. In 85, I went to LaRue, which is where I am still. And I came out of seminary with what I would say is a typical view of ministry, which is you disappear in your office, you do your exegesis for 40 plus hours a week. You come out, you preach sermons, the church is happy, the church grows. And that's the model we got in seminary because, frankly, you know, seminary chapel, you don't get some guy who's pastoring a church of 75 people to speak in chapel. You get the big name guys, and what do? Well, they have staff to do all the other stuff, and they study and preach. So that's the model we came out with. Well, within a year, I'm dying, because people are coming to me with problems, and I don't have any idea what to say to them.
Now, that's what I want to dive into, because there are a lot of young pastors who are listening out there. They've graduated from seminary. Often you don't find seminaries that teach counseling. They do a pastoral counseling approach where they may talk about some of the pastoral ministry responsibilities that you mentioned. They may give a lecture or two on pastoral care. The typical method is defer and refer. There's somebody else to do that. So that's what you're describing. And then I want people to hear how you as a minister in LaRue, you started to see this unwind and unfold, and you were challenged with things that you didn't feel maybe prepared for. So I want you to describe that, because a lot of guys who are listening to this are going to resonate with what I've heard about your story.
Now, look, I wouldn't trade my seminary education for anything. I think we need to know the languages. We need to know systematic theology. We need to know those things. But it's very academic. It's in the sense of, okay, here's a way of thinking about it. The Bible is a book of problems. Solve the problems and you're ready to minister, right? What did this text mean to the original audience? And again, what you end up doing is just giving these lectures on Paul and the Corinthians rather than taking one more step, which is what did God intend this text to do with the present audience? So there's this idea of the Bible not as a book of answers, but a book of problems. Solve the problems, you're ready to minister. And ministry is typically preaching and teaching. And somehow, now looking back, I wonder, how is it that we don't talk about people? How is it that we're not talking about, I've got to learn this so I can minister to people? People are the ministry. I came out with teaching, preaching is the ministry, not people. So with that kind of a paradigm, you're not equipped to handle the things that people are coming, the problems they're coming to you with. And so you're lost. For example, Philippians 2, right? The kenosis passage. What do we got to do? We scratch our heads and say, how can Jesus empty himself and still be God? Well, that passage is about be like Jesus. We have to answer those questions, the kenosis theory, all that. We got to deal with that. But the primary thrust is you be like Jesus, but we're not taught to approach the scripture that way. So you're not doing it in your preaching. You're certainly not doing it in ministering to people, because you're just, I got to minister the word of God publicly. Is that making sense? I hope I'm answering the question.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. And I want you to take us sort of into your ministry in LaRue and help us to see where, the way I've heard you describe it before is, people started coming to you with some of these issues, yeah, and you're like, man, I'm much more comfortable behind a pulpit than I am behind my desk kind of thing. Take us there to that place, because I want us to get a sense of what life was like for you before you came to biblical counseling, yeah, understand pastoral ministry maybe a little bit better. Take us to that place.
To summarize it quickly, it was miserable. And within about a year, I was about ready to throw in the towel because, how can I help these people? I don't know how. And it was so frustrating. And I didn't have the mindset of people being ministry. They were just, they're interfering with ministry. If you can believe that, that was my mindset. And so I was frustrated. I didn't know what to say. I was about ready to quit. It was like, I am preaching the word of God. I am studying. Why isn't this, helping them? Why aren't we growing? I must be doing something wrong. Years later, a dear friend, Randy Patton, familiar name to all of us, once said to me at the turning point, I would say, in the ministry for me, said to me, Tim, you have to understand that a successful ministry is not a ministry without problems. It's a ministry that solves problems God's way. And that was like a turning point for me later. So it was a miserable existence. I would just rather avoid people because I didn't know what to say. And frankly, one of the idols of my own heart is I don't want to look stupid. I can't help. What am I going to do? And so it was very, very difficult. So I get a pamphlet from a friend of mine. I'd gone to college and seminary with Russ. And Russ sends me this pamphlet. He'd gone to Faith Baptist Church in Lafayette, Indiana, and took their counseling course. So he sends me this pamphlet. I'm desperate. I am desperate. So I'm looking at it. I'm reading that and saying, oh, yeah, that looks good. Oh, I flip the page. That looks good. Yeah, that's what I need. Wow, that's good. I turn that pamphlet over, and the very back of the page is a picture of Jay Adams endorsing that program. And I'm thinking, oh, no, no, not the nut. Oh, well, and this was me and my arrogance. I fully confess this. I said, well, nut or not, they probably got something I can learn, you know. Little did I know that what I learned would transform my family, my marriage, my relationship with my children. Our whole church started down the road of real, what I would say, real biblical ministry, real ministry. And it was because of that. I would have thrown in the towel, but that fundamentals course fundamentally changed me, our family, and our church.
Now, I want you to talk about some of those moments, because there's a lot to the story, the way God providentially brought you to this particular place. This pamphlet is in your lap. You had heard Jay Adams speak before. There were some other people even around your area who encouraged you to go with them to faith. Talk about some of those moments and how you began to learn biblical counseling. You began to see it capture your heart, your mind, even change your pastoral ministry. Describe some of those meetings in the early days at Faith.
This would have been a 4-hour trip for me. I would leave on Sunday night. I would stay overnight with some retired missionaries, and then the next day go to the training program and then go home at night. It was a big investment on my part. It would be 3 hours of lecture, 9 to 12. And then during lunch, we had a case study book. We had two cases assigned, and we would do those and discuss that. And then from 2 until 9, we were scheduled to observe the counseling. And so that really, really, really was helpful in terms of learning. It wasn't that Pastor Goode, Randy Patton, Tim Turner, and Dr. Bob Smith, it wasn't that they were teaching us anything radical. They just said, here, let's open the Bible and see what it says. It just blew me away. First being taught it and then seeing it in practice, how the Bible addresses the deepest problems. You know, some of the cases we'd observe were just wild. It's like, boy, if that would have come into my office, I don't know what I would have done. It was amazing to see. There was nothing radical. It was just say, let's look at the book again. And looking at the book in the way it was intended, I don't want to get off track, but I have become convinced that we have to approach the Bible with a pastoral hermeneutic, because the Bible was written to particular situations for particular people. Even the Psalms, right? Written for particular situations. And so I got a different view of the Bible that was just mind-blowing. And the point of my conversion to biblical counseling was this. In a lecture, Dr. Bob Smith, dear, dear man, said this: if you're going to say that psychology is necessary for helping people, then you have to admit that Jesus Christ left the church ill-equipped for 1900 years until a God-hater by the name of Sigmund Freud came along and taught us how people really operate. That was, to me, that was incredibly profound. I could not argue with that. And from that moment on, you know, I was convinced of it and knew that the Bible is sufficient. It is sufficient. You know, why have I not seen this? Why have I not seen this?
Now, talk a little bit more about how biblical counseling has impacted your life. You went through this massive transition, and I even dare to ask, you know, what Becca was seeing. Becca's your wife. What was she seeing as Tim's learning all this and how it transformed your ministry? Talk about how it impacted your life.
Becca and I often say this. We were married for 9 years. We'd been married 9 years when I went to Lafayette in 1986. We'd been married 9 years, and we didn't know what the purpose of marriage was. And so I come away saying, one flesh. It's about companionship. And you do the exegesis of Genesis, passage in Genesis, Genesis 2, and you walk away saying, oh, well, that's what marriage is about. It's about companionship. And so I come home. I say, honey, we got to change around here. Well, the kids can't be the center. We have to get them to bed at a certain time so that we can have time together. It affected the way we chose to do our kids' sports. We, you know, all three of you guys, the boys at that time, we can't get you in everything because that's going to take away time for us. So, and Becca loved it. She absolutely loved it because there was now purpose. I mean, there was purpose in raising our children. I was so utterly frustrated. What do I do with these kids? And I come home and I'm saying, you know what? I've learned from the Bible that we ought to have a goal. So here's the one I memorized, right? We ought to have a goal. We need to produce independent, godly disciples who love God and love others and who can handle life by handling God's word. And that mantra became part of us. So now we had a purpose in raising our kids. And so we started communicating. I learned, well, I can't clam up anymore about problems. I got to talk about them, which, you know, I was a clam upper and all that kind of stuff. So all of that transformed our relationship with one another and with our kids. Now, it's now saying to our church, hey, the Bible has answers for our problems, not just individually, but congregationally. And it gives us directions what to do with when problems arise in the congregation. What does the Bible tell us to do about it? All right. And so we learned together, look, if the Bible says that someone is stubborn in their sin, we have to go after them. And if they remain stubborn after much pleading and working, well, then discipline has to be a part of it. It has to be loving. Hey, if two of you are Ephesians 4:26, don't let the sun go down on your anger and give the devil a foothold. Okay, well, look, I would say to the congregation things like, you know what? You know what it takes to split a church? Two of you going to bed angry overnight, and Satan will get a foothold and he can split this church wide open. So we have to deal with our personal problems between one another, and we have to do it quickly. And of course, we taught people how to handle problems. And so it just revolution. Here's how it revolutionized the ministry. We're not just there to hear sermons. We have come and we are joined together in this body to help one another grow and change. Our goal is to produce people, is to make disciples. What are disciples? Disciples are people who translate truth into life. That's what it's about. So it's all about changing. And so my sermons are about that. Our whole body's about that. Again, you know, we got to love one another. What does love look like? All these things just utterly transformed us. Can I tell you a story? So just this last summer, vibrant young woman in our congregation, she spent half of her childhood in my house. She's married. She has a toddler. She was 6 months pregnant, married 3 years. She dies, just dies suddenly. Boy, that was hard. That was hard on all of us. But man, the church just sprung into action without sign-up sheets, without saying, okay, we gotta take care of the toddler until Cam, her husband, comes home from drill, and we gotta take care of her, and we gotta wait for Cam. We gotta be ready to talk and offer comfort to Cam. And guys Cam's age now surround him to help him. The night Cam comes home, we're waiting for him, and one of the young guys in our congregation, Joe comes along and says, Pastor, should I stay overnight with Cam and Gwen, their little toddler? And I said, Joe, that would be great. So Cam comes home, and we're talking to him. We're trying to minister comfort to him. In the midst of it, at one point, Joe says, well, look, I brought my Bible and my hymn book, and I'm going to stay overnight unless you tell me not to. Now, I think that has grown out of Joe growing up in a congregation that knows, hey, we're not just here to hear sermons. We have to minister to one another. So just things like that happen because I think of what biblical counseling has done.
It's always fun to me. You talk about story time. That's one of my favorite things to do, Tim, honestly, is to sit and to hear the works of God among his people. And hearing your testimony describing how this training really transformed your home life, it transformed your pastoral ministry. But you're still very involved in the Biblical Counseling Movement today. You serve on our Board of Trustees. You're out teaching on many weekends about the Scriptures and what the Scriptures say, what the Scriptures call us to. Talk a little bit about why it is that you're still involved, why you're still convinced that biblical counseling is a good, healthy direction, and it's really healthy for our churches and for us personally.
I think, okay, let's see if I can get it all in a little bit here. I think, number one, biblical counseling is nothing more, nothing less than soul care. And the reason why I am so committed to teaching, and I would teach more if I had more opportunities, but the reason why is I say, pastors, look, this is what pastoring is all about. It's about taking care of the sheep. It's not just about feeding them. It's binding up their wounds. It's helping them. It's getting them back so that they can function as the way the Lord Jesus wants them. And so I'm really committed to this because I think pastors, and I hope some of you pastors are out there, I learned how to shepherd the flock. That's what it is. And here's another reason. Biblical counseling is all about fulfilling the Great Commission. What did Jesus say? Go out and make disciples, teaching them what? To obey. And that's what counseling is. It's part of the whole church ministry. It's an intensive way of teaching people how to obey the Lord Jesus in the crises of their life. And then the rest of the church ministry is also about teaching you to obey Jesus. So that's why I'm so committed to it. It's what the church is all about. And first, you know, we could talk about the history, but the church over the last couple of generations has lost a central part of biblical church life, and biblical counseling captures that and says, we got to get back into that.
Tim, this is really helpful. I know it's an encouragement to my heart to hear your story, how the Lord brought you from places that you were, good training, good teaching, and then now to see the fruit of your ministry in LaRue, Ohio, and extend so much beyond that. What an encouragement. And I hope for some young ministers out there, they can hear your story. Be encouraged and you know, see the Scriptures the way you described, not just in the preaching, which is so important. You're not pulling away from the centrality of the preaching of the word.
No, no.
But it is about the word, yeah. Ministering the word so that people can be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus and display that glory across the earth like the waters cover the sea. This has been really, really fun for me, Tim. I'm really grateful. And I'm glad that now other people are going to hear your story that so encourages me.
I appreciate that, Dale. I'm fired up about this topic. I really am. I love talking about it. I love teaching it because I think it's so necessary.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. Man, I love hearing stories like we heard today. And one of the places where I hear the most of these types of stories is at our annual conference every year, where we all join together as one big family, and we get to know one another better. We get to fellowship with one another. I want to encourage each of you to be a part of this year's annual conference, October 7 through 9, Fort Worth, Texas. We're talking about the care of Christ. We want to understand, how did Christ care for people? We are called to care for people in that same way. And so we're going to be addressing that issue. I need to remind you that this week, we will see a price jump. So the best price that you can receive up to this point in the spring is this week. On April 1st, we will see that price go up. So I want to encourage you, if you've been thinking about it, we want to see you there in Fort Worth. There's Spanish pre-conference. So if you have Spanish-speaking friends, we want to minister to them as well. We want to make that available specifically to them. There'll be live translation that's happening for Spanish speakers as well for the whole of the conference, and specific breakouts for them as well. So we want to invite you and those who speak Spanish as well to come and enjoy the conference with us. Price jump happening on April 1st. So don't forget, go to our website to sign up and register, biblicalcounseling.com.